section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
The buys are in for WrestleMania. Where's the big show? And who is the August 1st warning? All this and much, much more. This week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Episode of Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So TNA cancels events in Washington and Oregon. And is this even a big deal, Aaron?
Not really. Let me tell you this. When I went to the event in Seattle over a year ago now, it was kind of small. You know, there weren't that many people there, and I was a little underwhelmed by that. It's one of those things that when you see it, you're like, oh, that's not good. Like, you know, they still put on some really great matches and everything, but, you know, you don't want to see that. You don't want to see a national company like TNA, you know, not have that many people. So, and not on top of that, too, the place in Washington was in Yakima, which is, I think I want to say like 2 hours away from Seattle, if not more. It's a ways away, you know. It's not just a stone's throw away, because otherwise I would have gone. But unfortunately, that was not the case.
Do you think if they had it closer to the Seattle area, do you think that the cost from like driving having the wrestlers drive all the way there and then TNA paying for the hotel rooms out there, do you think that has an effect on it? Because I would think putting them close to Seattle would be the better thing to do and promote within Seattle and not, you know, from the outside areas in, if that makes sense.
So this gets, and there's layers upon layers upon layers of this. But what I'll say is this. There is a Western Hockey League team called the Seattle Thunderbirds who used to play in Key Arena at the Seattle Center. And Key Arena was charging them an arm and a leg, and they're a very junior hockey league team. It's like, you know, 18 to 20 year olds. And so they moved to a city called Kent, which is about half an hour away from Seattle. And that is where TNA was. Now, that place, it's still in the Seattle area. And so I'm sure that they still charge an arm and a leg. And it's not like TNA was going to go to Key Arena because they charge an arm and a leg. And so, you know, they had to figure somewhere else to go. I just wish it would have – I think that if they would have done a little more research, they probably could have got closer to Seattle, which would have been smarter, and they would have got more fans. But, you know, it's just – it's the Pacific Northwest, people say it's kind of like a dead zone, you know, for professional wrestling. But it's it is a little sad. So anyway, though, Andy, what do you think about Randy Orton getting attacked by a fan in Africa?
Here's the thing. When you low blow someone, you don't do it Ric Flair style. But apparently this guy calls himself the wrestling machine, and there's been speculation that he is some form of wrestler in South Africa. The problem is he's not one of the good ones. After doing a lot more research on it, the guy has not been formally arrested. The WWE has always wanted to pull one over on TMZ or any other new, like if it was on USA Today, they would sign this guy just on principle saying, oh, this is all, you know, this is a work, blah, blah, blah. When you have a fan send something to a news organization, this being TMZ, and they post it, you can say whatever you want. But truthfully, the only reason that WWE.com did something on this, I truthfully believe, is because Orton kicked the guy in the head. And if you listen to the video, it's not a little, you know, oh, barely hit him. When he hit him, you heard it. He kicked him hard in the head. So I don't know if this is a work. I would assume that it's not, because otherwise you're going to have more fans running in. And they one thing that they did say was security from then on out was beefed up around the ring at the rest of the shows.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I don't think it's a work necessarily, just because of the way that Orton retaliated. This kind of seemed like something that the guy wanted to make a name for himself. I don't think that Orton's, you know, one of the reasons he hasn't been arrested is because Orton hasn't pressed charges. And he said, I don't know if I'm gonna. And I could see this being a situation where Orton doesn't want to look like he's weak by pressing charges. And so they're going to try to keep that out of the spotlight. But at the same time, this guy has definitely made a name for himself. And I'm not saying TNA, but a smaller promotion, maybe like a PWG, for example, could pick this guy up if it happened to him. And I'm saying what I'm saying is if this happened in America, let's say an organization like PWG would pick him up.
But here's my thing with that, though. If they know that this is going to happen, you set a precedent that, okay, if I want to make it in wrestling, I'm going to jump over the ring in a WWE event. I'm going to attack this certain wrestler, and this is what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You can't allow that to happen. Plus, you have to get commissioned by, like, for instance, you have to get commissioned by the, we'll say they're going to Pennsylvania. You got to get commissioned, you know, the pro wrestling, with the commission to allow you to wrestle, you have to get permission from them. And they can reject them on the simple fact that we don't want you here because of this.
Yeah.
And the WWE doesn't really have pull against it, but they can strongly suggest by this place saying, don't allow him to wrestle in this organization. But I don't want to give this guy any more press because I think it's ridiculous that he even would to try it. Great that he, quote unquote, made a name for himself, but he's a loser. So the pay-per-view buys are in. I still can't say that right, but WrestleMania had 1 million buys. Elimination Chamber had...
Well, we already know what Elimination Chamber had, but Extreme Rules
had 231,000 and Payback had 186,000. I guess the WrestleMania one didn't really surprise me. I guess the Extreme Rules one really surprised me because that seems like a lot for that pay-per-view.
It does seem like a lot. I agree with you there. I think that Extreme Rules, that pay-per-view was not good. Let's just be honest here. You know, we liked some of the gimmick matches that they did, but the pay-per-view itself was insanely predictable. It didn't have anything that was like, whoa, this is, you have to watch it because you get to see Cena take on Ryback. Nothing really to write home about. Payback as a pay-per-view wasn't too bad. I think that I was a little more impressed with it than what I was expecting to be, if that makes sense. It wasn't that bad. I gotta say though that the drop off. Yeah. Well, let me ask you. You see, WrestleMania had just over 1 million buys, and then it drops 75% to the next pay per view. Is that bad?
Not necessarily. I think it has to do something with the cards. You know, if I'm correct, wasn't Extreme Rules right after WrestleMania?
Well, it was after 4 weeks, after 5 weeks, but yeah.
Right. So I think that it's still hot. I think WrestleMania was actually decent. So I think some people were still kind of hot on it. And also Brock Lesnar might have had something to do with it. Maybe not. I don't know. I mean, that's one of those weird ones.
Okay. So you think then Extreme Rules, which had Brock Lesnar on the card, Payback did not. So you think Extreme Rules maybe was helped out by having that star power?
See, this is, it's hard for me. Like, all right, I'm trying to figure out how to decipher this in my head, but I see how Lesnar can bring buys, but I don't think he brings that much buys where, you know, you're going to drop, you know, what, 25% just off that. But I think also that the Extreme Rules, well, see, that's the thing, though, because Payback, I thought, had a better card than Extreme Rules.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe Brock Lesnar does bring that much star power, or maybe that people, that this, the people who usually do not buy pay-per-views, they decided that they watch Extreme Rules, and they're like, oh, this is disgusting. I can't even believe I wasted my money on this. You know, that's the only thing I can think of that happened, is that people just got disgusted, and then those people who kind of came back as wrestling fans decided to leave when Payback happened, when they really should have had the Payback and then Extreme Rules.
I don't know. I don't really have a theory on it, so I'm not going to dwell on it. But Andy, let's move on to WWE programming this week. Vince McMahon comes out and he tells us he's not a Daniel Bryan guy, but he's also not a John Cena guy.
I disagree with that.
Well, this is also, come on, it's storyline.
Of course.
But what he said, one of the things he said was that he wants a corporate champion. And so I got to ask you, corporate champion, who do you think storyline wise it would be?
What's Eugene doing these days?
He's hanging out.
Okay. So if it's not Eugene, then I'm going to definitely have to go with Randy Orton on this, because this just says Randy Orton. Randy Orton's the guy who will come out in the suit. Daniel Bryan will not come out in a suit. John Cena will not come out in a suit. You bring in Randy Orton, who, hey, didn't he do that for a while? And still, hasn't he come out? Well, actually, you know what? Recently, he has not come out in a suit, which is, in fact, I don't really know. Okay, moving on from that part of it. But okay, but the guys don't come out in suits like they were, and Orton hasn't, but he has at one point, and he could pull it off.
So you think corporate champion means that he's going to be in a suit?
Well, because Orton will come out and do like the Ric Flair-esque, where you come out in a suit and tie, and you look good all the time. You know, and I mean, because he got to keep his suits according to the divorce. So I'm assuming that's why you pick Randy Orton, because he still has all the suits.
I'm basing the
corporate thing upon the fact that you dress nicer than what John Cena would or Daniel Bryan would.
I just got dumber listening to that explanation of what a corporate champion is.
Realistically, a corporate champion is John Cena.
A corporate champion is
a storyline.
Well, we're talking storyline wise. A corporate
Randy
champion
Orton.
Is somebody who does what the boss man says. You know, so we think back to Rock when he won his title back in 98. You know, when he was the corporate, and as opposed to the people's champion, he became the corporate champion. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he wore a suit and everything, but I guess the point I wanted to get across there is we're going to have somebody who will be a heel.
Yes.
There's the long rumored Randy Orton mm-hmm. heel turn. And we also need to have somebody who will be backing McMahon and potentially cause some rifts between McMahon and Triple H. Randy Orton is the ideal person for that because he has the background with Triple H. And then of course being, you know, McMahon's crony. But Andy, I got to ask you, you know, Big Show, he was supposed to return last week, didn't. Mm-hmm. Didn't return this week. Mm-hmm. Do you think it could be Big Show? Do you think he could be the corporate champion?
No, not Big Show. Big Show is not going to be the corporate champion. I have no reason to even want to see Daniel Bryan versus Big Show, because I believe Bryan's going to win the title. Or if he doesn't win the title, I don't want to see John Cena versus Big Show, and I don't want to see Randy Orton versus Big Show, and I just don't want to see Big Show in the main event. Nothing against him. I think he's grown as a wrestler of all things. Never thought, you know, no pun intended. But I just don't want to see it. I don't care to see it. I want to see Randy Orton. But Big Show right now is still hurt. They don't want to have him come back too soon. That's why, in fact, he was supposed to go over to South Africa, and he didn't, because they didn't want him taking any chances. And they actually advertised the fact that he was going to be there, but at the last minute pulled him. You know, it's one of those things. I'm glad they did it because he is hurt. But anyway, so the one thing I'm trying to figure out is who is RVD going to feud with? Because he's had a bunch of matches recently, but the story, you're kind of confused on the storyline. He faces Del Rio one night, then Fandango the other night, and then you're just like, well, who's he going to face this week? I have no idea who he's going to feud with. I mean, do you have any idea right now?
I think that RVD is probably way past his prime and maybe in that area of phoning it in. And I like RVD. I've always thought he was really exciting. He was the one person that came out of ECW that had everything. He had the star power, he had the mic skills, and he had the in-ring ability. He was just phenomenal. And he connected with the fans. You know, that's the big thing too. And so it's one of those things where he seems like somebody who is a no-brainer to put with anybody in a feud. You could put him with a good guy like Christian. You could put him with a bad guy like Del Rio. You could put him with and have him feud with anybody. And I don't think WWE has an idea. I think that they were like, oh, here's a big name that TNA let go. We should bring him back and have him excite the crowd. And he's been doing that, you know, and he has they're cookie cutter matches, but they're still they're still exciting, but he's not doing anything. There's no like, oh man, him and Fandango, they don't like each other. Can't wait to watch them take each other on. Nope. It's just, it's boring. And it kind of sounds like you feel the same way.
I do, and that's the sad part, because RVD comes back, and you're like, sweet, he comes back at Money in the Bank, and then it's like, eh, now he's wrestling this guy, and now he's wrestling this guy. I'm surprised. You know what? Here's what I think happened with RVD. I truthfully believe that he signed a six-month deal, and that's all he signed. I don't think he signed anything longer than that. You know, because 3 months, well, you can see it's longer than 3 months, but I bet he signed a six-month deal, and that's it. And then I bet that they're doing something where he can't go back to TNA, which would make me laugh.
Yeah. So, Andy, Christian and Alberto Del Rio are going to be wrestling each other at SummerSlam. But the weird thing is they wrestled each other on Raw for free, and Christian got the win. So what's the point?
There is no point. This is just setting up the fact that, oh, Christian can beat the champion, but at SummerSlam, Chris is going to beat the crap out of him, and somehow Sandow's going to tease the, you know, the fact that he can cash in if he can ever find it.
Do you think Sandow's going to do it, or do you think Orton's going to cash in?
Oh no, Orton can only cash in with against Cena.
I know, but what I'm saying is, do you think that Orton and Sandow will cash in on the same night?
Ooh, good question.
They will not do that. There's no chance.
Well, they don't care about the old NWA Heavyweight Championship, so I'm pretty sure that they would just do it just out of spite. But if you're smart, like I guess most of the people in the WWE, I think they would hold off on Sandow's and just do it on like a SmackDown.
No, they'd probably do it on Raw, but I know what you mean. So you think then that Sandow is not going to cash in?
I think he'll tease it. You know what? I think he's going to wait a few months. I'll take that back. Everything I've said so far, I think he's going to cash it in. We'll say around October. In October, he'll cash
it in. So let's get back, though, to the wrestling for free. Was this a smart move of them to do?
Well, it shows the potential on the match that it could be, but it also shows the fact that Christian could say, I beat you on Raw. And then, you know, they'll have some, you know, back and forth here and there. And that could change and that'll make you think, wow, you know, this is for free. And Orton beat him, and the Christian beat Del Rio. But can he beat him at a pay-per-view? Because, you know, that's when the big boys, you know, bring it. You know, that's one of those things. I guess that's how I look at it.
So, Andy, the other thing that happened was Dolph Ziggler and Big E Langston. They've been feuding for the, you know, since the pay-per-view, and they actually wrestled on Raw for free. I'm kind of guessing that you probably thought this was going to be a pay-per-view match, right?
This I thought was going to be a pay-per-view match. This one confuses me the most because they've been teasing it, and you would think that they would do a match and they would only go for, you know, instead of going like, we'll say like a 15-minute match, they'd go 5 minutes and then like AJ would do something and then, you know, the match would be over with. That's what I thought would happen. But of course, that doesn't happen in this place. But I also thought it was weird that the fact that, you know, it's Caitlyn versus AJ. Of course, Caitlyn picks up the win and then Dolph comes out. And then it's like, hey, we're gonna have a match here. OK, well, why?
I think that this was, this was taped last Tuesday. And I honestly think that they didn't know what to do. And so they were like, well, just have those two wrestle. Yeah, we'll have it on the pay-per-view too, but it's okay. We'll have them wrestle here. You know, and it made zero sense. So I'm a little disappointed with how some WWE programming went this week. You know, there were great matches, but storyline-wise, I really missed the mark. And you know, we could get into so much more about that. But instead, Andy?
Instead, just watch NXT on Hulu Plus. And we also need to thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or a podcaster? You're just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and hands down, the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use the special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite at your web hosting costs. Also, check out Section86.com's Off the Mark page. You're going to save $10 if you spend at least $70 at WWEShop.com. If you use WWE Save 10, and make sure you click on that banner before you do so. So let's move on to Impact Wrestling this week. Bobby Roode finally gets a win. And how does he get a win, Aaron?
Oh, well, I mean, come on. It was in, you know, one of those ways, right? One of those dusty finishes.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out also during this match, Aaron. Okay, the 1-2-3 count. How come he didn't cut his hand? And how come he was like, "Whoa, what's all this beer bottle doing around here? Whoa, I don't know what happened. Fambo's are throwing it in here."
Yeah,
he's trying to make a name for himself.
So Rue finally gets a win. You know, after having quite a few a string of losses. And so, you know, as you had mentioned before, that he's probably going to make it to the final four, but it's going to be that hard fought climb. You know, he's going to be crawling from the bottom. So, kudos to him for finally getting a win. Now, Austin Aries takes on AJ Styles in what was considered a dream match by many people.
Yep.
You know, these two had not faced each other in recent memory. I don't know if Austin Aries had taken him on when he was in TNA originally, or if they, you know, took each other on at other places. But so this was a you know, what I thought was a good match, but I know that you said before that you thought it was pretty sloppy and you didn't care for it.
I thought it was very sloppy in the fact that, like, okay, like, for instance, when AJ went for the Styles Clash off the entrance, and he flips over, and it looked bad at first. In fact, I had to go back a couple of times to make sure he didn't, like, hurt himself legitimately. And then I just thought, I kept looking at, like, there's certain moves, like, even doing a simple suplex, it just didn't, like, it seemed like the timing was completely off. And I don't know if it's something that, because of something that's happened in the show they're taping later, I don't know what exactly is going on, but everything just seems sloppy to me. And I'm just kind of like, okay, this match should have been a lot better. How come it's so sloppy? And that's what I kept thinking the entire time watching it. I don't know. And then this finish, I thought the finish was stupid. They're both laying down. And at the last, right before the three count hits, and this is the other thing too, with your ref should be counting with both hands. And then I would have been like, okay, I see the point. But he's counting 1, 2, 3, ring the bell. Aries kicked out earlier, so or got his elbow, the shoulder up, so that's why he won the match. Okay, then were you counting for him the entire time? Like, this is just one of those things, like, huh, moments. Like, the fact that Joseph Porks actually won tonight, it's just those sort of things.
So, for me, I thought that this was a really good match. I thought that the moves that they did, it was so well scouted, and there were things that were going on in the match that, you know, you see Austin Aries move out of the way or AJ Styles moves out of the way in the fashion that made me go, oh, wow, these guys know each other so well, even though they've never faced each other. You know, they greatness knows greatness type thing. But the very end of the match, the thing that got me the most, that finish, whomever came up with it needs to be fired. That was one of the worst finishes I've seen in wrestling in such a long time. Having him fall, then having to have him move around to put AJ's hand over his body, it looks stupid. It just flat out, it looked stupid. And I think that any normal person watching at home is going to go, I don't understand this. Like, why did he do that? That makes zero sense. Makes zero sense. Now, if it just happened where he fell in such a way that happened, fine. But just, you know, if you know that Austin Aries is going to win and you see him fall down and he happens to have his hand on top of AJ Styles, just count that. Just count just to do that. But what they did was insulting to wrestling fans, in all honesty. It really was. So, Andy, 5-on-5 match, Aces and Eights taking on the Main Event Mafia, loser leaves town match at Hardcore Justice. Who is going to be the loser?
Rampage Jackson.
So you think Main Event Mafia is going to lose?
Oh, yeah. Get rid of, because Rampage is only going to be there for a little bit. Get rid of him. Or Mike Knox, because his contract is up here pretty soon, any month now. It's either August or September he signed with them. And he probably signed a one-year deal and probably can't reach an agreement because no one knows what's going on in TNA. So,
well, Andy, I don't know who that person is that you're talking about. I believe that you're referring to Knox.
Oh, Knox. My bad.
Yeah, Knox. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I agree with you. I think that's going to be Rampage Jackson. You know, I saw some rumors. Oh, it's going to be Sting. He's going to sign with WWE. No.
Nah, his contract rumor doesn't expire until October, rumor is.
So, Andy, August 1st, the Mystery Man was revealed. And TNA, look, they did a fantastic thing when they were teasing all these people are going to come join. They did it with Rampage Jackson. And people were talking. People went to Batista. They went to Colt Cabana. They went to John Morrison, MVP. And they asked these people, is it you? And they're like, and so TNA's getting a lot of buzz. August 1st, they're doing the same thing, right? And it was a big deal. And I know that a lot of people were saying – Bob Holly was one of them. Who was it? Davey Richards, I believe, was another one. All of these other people.
Adam Pearce.
All the speculation comes, and then it turns out to be Tito Ortiz.
I've been so upset about this that I can barely do the show tonight. It's just been bothering me so much right now, Aaron. I can't like when they announced this. I'm still that upset about it. Like it's almost 24 hours. From when they announced it, it still ticks me off because I've been a TNA. I used to buy the $9.95 pay-per-views. I was one of those guys. Every week I was spending $10, $40 a month. And I've stayed with them this entire time. Yeah, I'll bash them and say they're going to go under, blah, blah, blah. But the thing is, I was like, okay, who is it going to be? I thought Bob Holly would be a great one. He was just on the pay-per-view. You know, Maven was a good one, I thought, as well. I really thought it was going to be Vince McMahon coming out saying that he bought both companies and there's going to be a simulcast going on at the same time. You know, all these things. And the fact that I was like, okay, just as long as it's not a mixed martial artist, because I know at one point they said Tito Ortiz and someone else as well. I was like, all right, just as long as it's not a mixed martial artist, because you don't fire a bunch of people and bring a mixed martial artist in, because MMA and pro wrestling do not mix. It never has. You don't get a crossover between those two promotions. It you never do. It never works. It always fails. The fact that they fire all these really good wrestlers to bring Tito Ortiz in still bothers me that much. I can't get over it. It still is bothering me today. This is just a waste of my time. Next time they tease something, I'm not going to care. I'm going to be like, whatever. Don't care. I don't, it's going to be someone stupid like Tito Ortiz.
Well, and we don't have full confirmation yet of TNA is actually even paying them. I actually have a feeling that this is a Spike TV paying thing. They're like, hey, you know, we're going to pay.
Correct. But I guess to me.
Either way, you know, just take that part out of the equation then. The fact of the matter is that we have wrestlers. Okay, this is a wrestling show, and it's supposed to be focused about wrestling. And instead, you have an MMA guy come out at the very end, and I don't believe that anybody there was like, "Oh my God, it's him." You know, when RVD first appeared there, granted, you know, crappy storylines going on at that time. RVD was still a big thing. Jeff Hardy, Ken Anderson, these are big names that people know. And Tito Ortiz is an MMA guy, not a wrestler.
And my thing also about this is, this is a great match, Ortiz versus Rampage Jackson 10 years ago. So let's move on to our weekly topic. So what does TNA need from the WWE? Like, if there's any person that they could put TNA on the map. Like, if you grab that one guy, you know, John Cena is the easy one. And I think CM Punk now is as well. But if there's that one guy you think that could be the face of that company from the WWE, who would be the one person you would pick? We'll even say a mid-carder. Who do you think, Aaron?
So, yeah, and we had talked about, last week for WWE, you know, let's say somebody from TNA went over there, who could really – like who would really help out and whose career could do better? And, you know, we're going to do the reverse now. And like you said, John Cena is the easy one. John Cena goes over. TNA is on the map. John Cena could have a lot of fresh matches, and TNA would benefit greatly. But
how many of like the rating, like TNA, we'll say averages a 1.1. Do you think it would go up to 1.9, if not to a 2.0, if they did hire Cena?
You know, it's a tough one. My first reaction is yes, of course. But then is John Cena really going to double that audience? Is he really going to? I don't think he would. Maybe he'll get 1.5, 1.6. I don't know if he would hit the 2.0, at least not right away. But they could have a good storyline going with him and then, you know, get people intrigued. But anyway, back to what I was going to say. CM Punk obviously would be another one because AJ Styles, Austin Aries, great matches with them. But I was actually going to think a little outside the box. And I was going to go to Sheamus.
Ooh, a good one.
And the reason I say that I think Sheamus could do well, and I think that TNA could use Sheamus, is he's an established superstar. You only know him from WWE. You don't know him from anywhere else. He is not hated in the same way John Cena is. And so, you know, he's somebody who could come in and actually put on some good matches and put some really good people over. I think that Randy Orton actually would be another. And don't get me wrong, Randy Orton, I've always said he phones in his matches. You know, every match is pretty much the exact same and it's boring and yeah. But Randy Orton, I think also, because I look at him and like Bobby Roode, I look at him and James Storm. I think that they could do really great things together. So that's another one. Daniel Bryan's an easy one to go to. But I was thinking, though, another one, which is Jack Swagger.
No.
And here's why. Yeah, I know it's like, what? I think his career could be revitalized, because in WWE, what happened with him? I don't think there's any salvaging him. I think WWE, he's gone as far as he can go. He'll hold the U.S. title, maybe IC, that's it. He's not going to go any further the rest of his career there. And so I think that he needs to go somewhere else, and they need to repackage his character and do something with him.
Yeah, okay, I could see that, kind of like what happened with R-Truth. R-Truth was getting stale. He was gone from the WWE, goes over to TNA, basically becomes kind of a big shot there, and then leaves, comes back to the WWE as a mid-carder. But I feel that his career has been, you know, it's been brought back because of TNA. In a way, I think Rob Van Dam as well, because he left, you know, he left to go to TNA, and then he came back to the WWE, and I think that all of a sudden everyone's like, hey, where have you been? You know, and he could have been like, oh, I was, you know, taking time off, you know. But I think RVD is bigger, you know, has now changed because of that. You know, I think you're right about Jack Swagger. I think he's one of those guys that needs to go away for a while and then come back. Yeah, I'm trying to think of other people. Like, I know that, now I'm trying to remember his name. Matt Bourne? Am I right? Am I messing that name up? Matt Bourne? The fact that he's gone and he's been hurt, but do you think that he might be one that should go and then come back?
You know, I think that, and I've said this before, I would love to see, you know, people have him share wrestlers. You know, I would love to see that. And I understand that it's not possible now because WWE is a global promotion. They're an entertainment company. TNA is a wrestling company, and they're on a national level and just barely. I understand that completely. But I also think that careers get revitalized. In WWE versus WCW, there were so many careers that when people went to WCW, they did much better. And when people went to WWE, they did much better too. I think that Chris Jericho is a great example of that. Chris Benoit, Eddie Guerrero, people like that did so much better in other promotions.
I just came up with something. What if you would basically give your wrestlers 6 months in the WWE, you would then give them a month off, you fly them over to somewhere in either Europe or even Japan, have them wrestle there for about 3 months, promoting as the WWE, and then you give them the next 2 months off, bam, you come back, and they're back, because everyone's like, hey, where were you for like the last 4 or 5 months? I was doing this and this, and you know, maybe you get some of their wrestlers to come over as well. I mean, you can almost do like a cross promotion like that, so it's, you know, overseas.
Well, actually, and TNA's, they met with the Great Muta recently,
right.
And there was talks about doing some talent exchange there. And I think that would be really great. I think that that would help revitalize it, because getting fresh blood into wrestling, it's like the new kid at school, and like the cool new kid, like Fonzie at school. All right. Hey. That's what it's like. Exactly. Everybody's like, oh, I like that guy. I want to wrestle with him. I want to see him in feuds with people. That's why with RVD coming back, people are like, ooh, CM Punk, John Cena, Randy Orton, Daniel Bryan. People immediately are throwing him against other people. And so you have a brand new person coming to TNA, and then that's what you do. The problem is, who was the last new person they brought in?
Ooh, good question. From the WWE?
No, just in general. In general, Jay Bradley, I think.
Jay Bradley, I guess, is the one, because he was a gut check winner, right?
Okay, who's the last established star they brought in?
Aries?
I think
Kate?
I think it was Nux, and I think it was
Knox is not an established guy.
I think that's somebody that people know.
Okay.
You know, right. That people know. I think that was it.
Festus?
And I think that's the problem, that they have not been bringing in people who are at least somewhat established. Hardcore Holly, you could bring him in. People know who he is. Even if he's there for only a month, you know? And I think that's the thing that I really do miss about them. So this has gone a little bit off topic.
Yeah, but who would fail, actually, if they brought from the WWE, bring him over? Who would be the failure? That's what I'm trying to figure out. Who would they bring over that would just completely fall flat? No one gives a crap that this guy's over there. And I'm thinking someone at least mid-Carter. Like, I thought about Cody Rhodes. If he went over there, of course he would succeed. Damian Sandow, I'm not sure.
He might fail. I think Sandow, well, if he has the same gimmick, he could succeed.
Silence.
But I'm thinking Miz.
Ooh, you know what? That's a good one.
You know who else?
Who?
Ryback.
Oh, yes. Ryback would fail. But I don't even consider him main eventer.
Well, Ryback is definitely a WWE character, a WWE creation. He could not do anything anywhere else. I really don't think that, you know? Those would be my guys who would fail.
I would say that the great Khali has a good chance of failing hard. Let's see, what else?
Former world heavyweight champion, great Khali, get it right.
Oh, yeah, my bad. And we know Christian Cage would succeed over there because he has. But yeah, I guess that's just one of those weird things. From TNA, if they could pick anyone out, you know, I would have to say they'd have to go with, if didn't matter, John Cena would be the number one guy. But I think Cena's a WWE for life.
So. I agree.
Anyways, so that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AuthorMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and ending the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.